weekly wait is over.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Hello and welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host and guide for the next 60 minutes as we explore the lesser heard, slightly obscure side of rock, where the album cut and B-side rule, referencing material as far back as the blues of the 30s to today's new releases, while throwing in healthy doses of commentary and vinyl history. There's lots to cover, so we better get started. Every band has one. Some are good, some are not so good. Some make the band an overnight sensation, and some, it's the first step to obscurity. So what am I talking about? Debut albums. The initial release, their first offering, an inaugural contribution. Some debuts were million sellers right out of the box, and the one we're starting with is Boston. Certified gold in 60 days, platinum in 90. It would go on to sell 17 million copies, which makes it the second all-time best-selling debut ever. And we all here in the Cleveland market can be proud. We broke the band nationwide. All hail the power of radio. Unfortunately, that was 70s radio. There were no official live albums by the band, but a 1977 King Biscuit Flower Hour radio show of the band's performance in Long Beach, California is the next best thing. Here's 4Play Long Time, recorded March 16th, 1977, originally found on the aforementioned debut album.
Thank you. stereo, life's the same, except for my shoes. Life's the same, you're shaking like tremolo. Life's the same, it's all inside you.
Summertime, leave you Baby,
from the number 2 all-time debut to the 40th, 1978's The Cars, another Boston-area band fronted by Cleveland transplants Rick Ocasek and Benny Orr, the former Ben Orczechowski. The guitar synth-based band was what genre the 80s would embrace. Moving in Stereo was one of the few tracks from the LP that didn't see its way to a 45. The number 27th slot belongs to the illegitimate offspring of the Yardbirds, Led Zeppelin. Now don't get me wrong, I like the band, but I don't like the way Jimmy Page and Robert Plant literally stole some of their biggest songs from the rightful writers, which, Babe I'm Gonna Leave You, is an example. Written by Ann Breeden in 1960 and covered first by Joan Baez, Jimmy Page included it on their debut release from 1969, giving writer's credits to himself.
Seagull, you fly across the horizon into the misty morning sun. Nobody asks you where you are going. Nobody knows where you're from. Here is a man asking the question, is this really the end of the world? Seagull, you must have known for a long time the shape of things to come. Now you fly through the sky, never asking why, and you fly. Across the horizon into the misty morning sun. Nobody asks you where you are going. Nobody knows where you're from. Now you fly through the sky. Fly to your toes.
You're listening to The Vinyl Garage.
Time. pulls those shades down tight. Oh yeah, there's a smile when the pain comes. The pain gonna make everything alright. Alright, yeah, yeah. So talk to Angel. There's a call around by her name.
Yeah.
Bad Company's self-titled debut from 1974 occupies number 66, with 5 million copies sold. The band was actually a supergroup featuring members of Free, Mott the Hoople, and King Crimson. The song Seagull wrapped up the LP as the last cut on side two. 1977 saw Foreigner's debut, another self-titled affair, featuring 4 charting singles. But we heard the one that wasn't released as such, I'm at War with the World, an album cut that does the number 65 slot proud. Number 69 is brought to you by the fine folks in the Black Crowes, an Atlanta area band, and their debut LP, Shake Your Moneymaker. She Talks to Angels was a number one single for the Crowes. It's kinda, no, it's really strange that Pearl Jam's first single, Alive, was originally only available as an import, eventually included on their debut LP, 10, which occupies number 7 all-time, selling 13 million copies, making Epic Records very happy. Up to this point, the leaders in the best-selling debut circus have all been from the late 70s to present. So what about the 60s or even before? Elvis's debut in 1956 was the first rock and roll album to sell a million copies. A monumental feat for 1956, but it took the Beatles and Monkees' debuts in 1964 and 1966, respectively, to match and exceed the King. They would sell 5 million each. Here's a few you may have heard before.
Whenever I want you around, yeah, all I gotta do is call you on the phone and you come running home. Yeah, that's all I gotta do. And when I wanna kiss you, yeah, all I gotta do is whisper in your ear the words you long to hear, and I'll be kissing you. And the same goes for me. Whenever you want me at all, I'll be here, yes I will. Whenever you call, you just gotta call on me, yeah. You just gotta call on me. And when I wanna kiss you, yeah, all I gotta do is call you on the phone and you come running home. Yeah, that's all I gotta do. And the same goes for me. Whenever you want me at all, I'll be here as I will. Whenever you call, you just gotta call on me, yeah. You just gotta call on me. Oh, you just gotta call on me.
Don't be slow. No. 'Cause I'm leaving in the morning and I must see you again. We'll have one more night together till the morning brings my train and I must go. No. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Bit of conversation. No.
Take the last train to Clarksville. Now I must hang up the phone. I can't hear you in this noisy railroad station. All alone, I'm feeling low. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30, cause I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train to Clarksville.
Tell me where your freedom lies. The streets are fields that never die. Deliver me from reasons why you'd rather cry. I'd rather fly.
Debut, at least in the U.S., was Meet the Beatles from 1964. We've heard All I've Got to Do. Even John and Paul's filler was exceptional. Last Train to Clarksville was the lead single from the Monkees' self-titled debut from 1966, matching the Beatles in copies sold. It wasn't so easy for the Kinks. It took three tries at a single before You Really Got Me took hold of the record-buying public, and even then the debut LP of the same name didn't sell well. They didn't have the luxury of a Paul and John or even a Boyce and Hart that the previous two had. Other than Got Me and the cut we heard, Stop Your Sobbin', the album was weak. Sobbing would eventually be covered by the Pretenders. What caused the Kinks' debut to fail wasn't an issue with the Doors first, an incredible collection of cuts that would eventually sell big. We heard Crystal Ship, the B-side to Light My Fire. Not to sound too much like some cheesy cable TV countdown show, but so what's the best-selling debut album of all time? That honor goes to Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction from 1987. Going platinum 18 times over, retaining the title still almost 30 years later. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining the Vinyl Garage this week. Now, it's more than a bit embarrassing that the, at best, marginal talents of the Backstreet Boys, Boys to Men, Vanilla Ice, NSYNC, Britney Spears, and others of their ilk have all made the cut, selling more than 5 million copies of their debut album. I shouldn't be surprised what some people will buy. But before I go, back when I was a kid, my grandfather had a transistor radio, a Philco, complete with leather case and single earphone, about the size of a pack of cigarettes that he listened to constantly. High technology at the time, despite the absolutely abysmal sound quality. I wanted one of my own in the worst way. Eventually, I graduated to a proper stereo system, big amp, turntable, and the largest speakers I could afford. It sounded great. It's how the generation listened. Now, the irony has not evaded me that today it has gone full circle. A sound system fits in your pocket, along with your entire music collection. But when I see them with their earbuds in, I see my grandfather, blissfully ignorant of what the quality could be. What we had not that long ago. Just saying. Touch with the Vinyl Garage at facebook.com/vinylgarageshow or directly via email at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com. So until next week, this is Dave Nelson. Thanks for listening.